Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. In the house, that's right, in the house, Jason with Church Tackle is here. And how exciting is this? I love using planer boards. And so now we get to hear the rest of the story. No, you've been catching a bunch of walleyes. We can jump right into that, can't we?
Yeah, so fall's a pretty big time for us. There's a couple really big tournaments up on Lake Erie. And yeah, it's some of our best fishing. November, late November, a lot of fish and generally big ones, yeah.
You make me so jealous every time I look at those and you're like 7, 8, 9,
yeah, that
sometimes it, 10.
Yeah, we had a 10.2 come through the boat this year. It's the time of year we look forward to. I mean, it's the fishing that keeps you coming back.
Yeah, and the thing is that planer boards play such a big part of that, don't they? In catching, and it really plays the part of presentation, doesn't it? That's what planer boards or stern planers are all about.
Yeah, for us, walleye fishermen, it's pretty much an everyday thing. It's something we're using every day for presentation.
Right.
Letting you set that depth exactly where you want it, and then move it away from the boat, whether it's to the side 100 feet or 200 feet behind the boat.
Right.
But exactly that, the stern planer is another way to kind of go about that behind the boat, a little less common. But the planer boards for us, for walleye, it's a everyday tool we're using all the time. And that's what's kind of neat is once I got out and saw some crappie fishing, they set up very similar. I mean, they're doing the same thing that we're – the crappie are doing the same thing that the walleye that we are targeting is doing, you know. So
And talking about that, we're going to jump into – this is a TX-12. I'm going to let you hold on to it.
Yep.
Because you rigged it up. You got it all going.
Yep.
So – but tell them about a planer board. Tell them, I guess, the whole – philosophy behind the board and also the flag.
So just from the very beginning, your line is going to come from the rod. You're going to hook it to that clip. Uh-huh. You're going to then hook it to that clip. And as you pull it forward, it's going to move that board farther away from the boat. So that's just kind of the basics of it. And like on Lake Erie, we can run 3 lines per person. So boy, you have 4 guys in the boat. 12 lines, you need to spread those out to not tangle. So therefore, that's where the planer board comes in. So it's just, you know, it's just a means to get stuff out there. But now you let your bait out, you clip this on, and that dictates your depth. So you're able to fish that, you know, exactly the depth you want and farther away from the boat.
Yeah.
So for us, very commonly, we're running minimum of 3 a side. A lot of times we're going to run 4, even 5, possibly 6 boards per side,
right?
Then run 2 stern planers out the back.
Yeah. So talk about the flag system on this, because this is different, and a lot of people that have never pulled planer boards, they don't understand flag up, fish on, flag down.
So with our TX-12, as it's pulling through the water, it's pulling off this clip, it's pulling across the water, and when the fish hits, that added weight pulls that flag down. So that's your first indication that, you know, there's a fish on there. A lot of times, especially even a better fish or a bigger fish, it'll pull that board back out of place as well.
Right.
But one thing we do see on crappie is the flag will drop and the board will kind of get scooted back. But if you miss that initial strike because maybe you're catching a different fish, maybe you're not looking there right then, a lot of times the crappie will start swimming along with it. So the board will move back up into place often, you know, a lot of the time, but the flag will be still mostly down. So with a crappie fishing, the flag on there is a pretty important part.
And also it can indicate if there's grass on your lure.
Correct. It can show you if there's a weed. So maybe the flag doesn't get pinned right down, but still it's partially down and you can tell. Uh-huh. It wasn't like that. And just like you said, if it's grass on there or weed on there, that's pretty important because that bait's not fishing. So you're just wasting time. So another great indicator.
And in the fall, you get leaves that go down your thing. And then you're like, your crankbait's not moving. So you're not getting that bite. Tell them what this is. It's not an ice cream cone.
Not an ice cream cone. At fishing shows, I can't tell you the number of things that I've heard this called, you know, a carrot, just go on and on with the different names. So it's a stern planer. So So there again, just like a board, you just let your bait out whatever far to dictate your depth, and then you clip this on, and it goes straight behind the boat. So generally, the fish you're catching are suspended. When your boat drives into them, they're either going to drop under the boat or they're going to move around the boat. Either way, when they come back together and they start to get active again, this is 200 feet behind the boat, 250 feet behind the boat with your bait exactly that, whatever depth you want it down there, 12 feet, whatever it happens to be. And there that bait comes through, those fish are back, they're getting active again, and it's a great chance at fish that you've already missed. You've already driven through them. So.
And just in general, so people know, there's different size boards, and there's also different size stern planers.
Correct. So for normal fishing, these will handle up to 3 ounces of weight, you know. So they'll still do what most guys are doing fishing. We do have a bigger size. They're easier to see way back there. I think we sell a lot more of the bigger size, and I think it's just because guys can see them better.
Right.
But really, this will do everything most guys need, up to about 3 ounces. Then for our bigger size, we're near Lake Michigan in the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
Now you're talking some salmon stuff. So guys are running the super heavy stuff behind our bigger cones, our TX-007 stern planers, pulling copper line, lead core line, that kind of stuff.
Which is out of our ballpark altogether. For us Southern boys. But if you're listening from up there, make sure you tag this show if you are, and tell us what kind of copper line that you're using, because I want to know. You also brought some snap weights. So you have a snap weight kick, and that's actually, to tell you the truth, that's the best way to get them. You buy them in the kit. There's different sizes, and then that way you have everything that you need.
Well, and I keep talking about this depth. You're able to set your depth behind the board or you know, behind the stern planer, and that's exactly where these come in. So it's a clip that just very quickly snaps onto your line,
right?
Clips on, and so the kit comes with 2 3-ounce, 4 2-ounce, and 4 1-ounce, along with 6 clips.
Right.
So the nice part about snap weights is, even if you started shallow in the morning, maybe you don't need any weight. Well, as they maybe move into deeper water throughout the day, you can just clip a weight on there. And when you're done at the end of the day, unclip it, put the weights away, and put your rods away. Everything stores super easy. But so the weights really come into play to get that exactly where you want it, you know, because obviously depth is crucial. So.
Right. And so let's talk. It's too bad we didn't have fishing line, but as fishing line goes from your rod, in general, where are you going to put your snap? So there's the lure, like 3 foot down, where are you going to start putting your snap?
So I'm going to run in dirty water, in pretty dirty water. Your snap could be as close as 6 feet from your bait.
Right.
20 feet is where I run it quite a bit for walleye fishing.
Right.
If it's really clear, you know, some guys are running them as far as 50 feet from the bait.
Oh, wow.
But normally that 6 feet to 20 feet is going to be plenty far enough away. You're not going to spook any fish or anything like that. So,
is there a calculation or
there's
a guideline for how far down it is if you're at a certain?
There's different apps you can just search it. There's charts. But it's all going to depend on the speed you're traveling, you know, diameter line. There's a lot that goes into it. But there's also apps you can get that'll tell you if you're going to run that at 1.5 miles an hour, you know. There's a lot of variables that go into it. To me, the easiest way is if you're running a line counter reel. So a reel that tells you how many feet out your line is. Even if you don't know exactly where that weight is depth-wise, you're able to replicate it, you know, with another rod. You're able to set that.
Right.
It caught a fish at 50 feet of line out, put it back at 50 feet, it catches another fish, you're on to them. So.
And you talked about line, and I have to jump into this because we use, a lot of Southerners like to use braided line. Now, I know for a fact we were in the boat at the Soar Lippamall event in Mississippi, and we were using braided line, and Jason, you let it known that you really don't like braided line.
I don't care for braided line at all. Not for trolling.
And the funny part, that's the person who's calling me about braided line. No, the thing about braided line was, It was a, it looked like a bird nest. And it's not your typical braid, little braid thing. Dude, what he was looking at was.
And that's what I made it clear, because in mono, you can work at stuff and you can usually get a knot out and you move on. And it was not happening. There was no way, no how that day. And that's exactly what I said. Why are you even using this? I think is how the phrase came out, but.
You can use these clips with braided line you want.
You could.
But you can also monofilament or fluorocarbon. You can use that. It's not going to pinch your fluorocarbon, so it's not going to make it a weaker.
There's nice rubber pads in there, so it won't damage the line.
And you can also use them on. See, so everything kind of plays in part here, that those three lines can all be used in these. These clips here, are they not made for braided line, these here?
They will work for braided line. That's specifically what they were designed for, to hold tight on braided line. They'll, of course, still work on your monofilament and your fluorocarbon, but they will actually hold braid and keep it from slipping.
They work great on braid, just so you know, because I use braid. They work great on braid. I may switch around, though, this year. I may go half-half just to try it out and troll. But once you know what depth you're normally running at, I hate to change things up. I know I'm at, 21 is going to give me 14. I don't have to think about it. But these clips here, that's the reason why these clips are different. The ones that come with them are basically shaped like a clothespin.
Yep.
Kind of, and you push the line in. Where this one, the clip, you push it, I could get on this side, and it will shut, and it'll clip shut, and it actually has a pin that goes through it, and that's what holds your line, your braided line, from sliding out, and then when you go to get it off, it clicks off. So those are, if you're fishing braided line, personally, I would tell you to get these clips. So when you buy a board, not all these boards come with all this stuff. So some of this is extra stuff.
Correct. And in fact, that board kind of has every upgrade almost available for it. Right. So when you get that board, it's just the board by itself. It has a black clip on it.
Right.
The flag system is an upgrade. Then that particular clip, as we're highlighting, is an upgrade as well. That board, that's personally how I run that board. And they're bulletproof at that point. You're not looking at replacing anything or anything really wearing out, because nothing's sliding. That's my favorite setup to run.
Yeah, but you sell them in kits like this, like in 2, 4.
Not in the TX12, we don't.
Oh, not in the TX12.
Correct. In a different size board, we sell the pair with the flag system.
Okay, so they'll have to get the flag system separate on the thing.
Correct.
I'll tell you again. Get the flag system, because you're going to get more fish, because you're not going to miss the bites.
And you're not going to waste time either. I've also seen it where guys are dragging around a small fish that they didn't realize was there, and it's hard to catch more fish with a fish still on there,
You guys aren't catching small fish up there up north.
We hope not. But.
Oh, you hope. You guys, I saw the video. It's good. So if there was some tips that you could give people about fishing with boards, what would be the top three tips for fishing with boards?
I guess the first overall tip is it's not that complicated.
Right.
The number of people that'll tell me in a year, well, gosh, I'd really like to learn how to do this, but boy, I don't know where to start. It's really not that complicated. It honestly isn't. It's pretty simple. The second thing is, really pay attention to the details, the flag, or if you put out a line of boards and all of a sudden a board is running way out of place, there's something going on there generally. Right. There's a fish, there's a weed, there's something. And then in particular that I see with flag systems is the easiest thing to do is they run a flag system with too much tension on it. Flag should be showing you, honestly, when there's a small fish for sure, and a lot of times it'll show you if there's a weed on there.
Yeah.
But the number one mistake I see, the guys have bought the board, they've bought the flag system, and then they just put too much tension on the flag system where it's not working. So those are probably the three.
It's the amount of line that you're putting from here to the front. And so if you have it too tight, then it doesn't pull.
It can't pull back. It can't pull back. Yeah. But the tension with this spring, I'm running snap weights a lot of times, and I'll very seldom be past that third hole, even with snap weights. And I see guys putting a whole lot of spring tension on them and they just don't need it.
Yep. And so give me just one tip on the stern planer.
Okay.
Because the stern planer, this is crazy. So a stern planer, I don't think I used, I think I've had stern planers in the past and I used it, but I was so much into a board that I wanted to get two boards out instead of two stern planers. Well, you can put multiple ones out of these, but a stern planer is as simple as it looks, can really add fish to the boat.
And they're fish you've already driven through. That's the best part, is you're picking up fish that you've already left behind.
Right.
So that's the best part. You're able to pick up some fish you've missed. And then one tip I would say on the stern planer is the rod tip will show the bite. It will. Uh-huh. You can see the fish hit. But the easiest and I think the best way to run them is close your bail, turn your clicker on, and back your drag way off so it's just barely pulling your bait through the water.
Uh-huh.
Now when that fish hits, your clicker goes off. So now you don't have to watch that rod anymore. The fish hits, the clicker goes off. You know there's a fish on there.
Yep. So planer boards, you think, still rule the – it's more walleye fishermen than crappie fishermen, right?
Yeah, but it's
– it's growing.
It is. It's just in the couple of years of being at this show in particular, it's growing pretty good.
Yeah. So everyone that's like – they're like, they're just for walleye. They're not for walleye. And unfortunately, I wish Les Smith was here to jump in the show, but he's from Mississippi. And so all the way down from Mississippi, and we're using them on Beaver Lake and the Ozarks, any of the Highland reservoirs, these things are great because we got water clarity 14 feet, 15 foot. We got to get it out. And stern planers actually work really good there. It's just like it's made for that reservoir, that to move them out and get them going that way. That's going to take us to tackle time. Tackle time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of lures that you can use behind your stern planer and your planer boards. Of course, our crankbaits, we have square bills, very popular to use square bills behind planer boards in Mississippi, especially if you're in reservoirs that are shallower than 8 foot. And you're trolling planer boards and your square bills in that, really popular, especially in the spring. And then also sometimes they double rig them and they put a jig up on top and then they run the crankbait down below it. So you can run them there. Otherwise, Pico does have some topwater lures. You want to check them out because we got some good ones that are going to be coming out very shortly, and I'll tell you more about that later. And also B&M Poles. B&M Poles has a complete line of rods for trout, crappie, brim, you know, you name it, anything you're trying to catch, they got a line of rods, and you can do it that way. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are using the Sam Super Salty B&M rods. It's a 7 foot, it's a casting rod, putting the line counters on them and then putting the boards on and doing it that way.
Yeah, they do really well.
Yep. So you can count that out that way. So that's where we're at. They want to find out more, Jim, about Church Tackle, about the planer boards or stern planers, where would they go?
ChurchTackle.com.
Okay. Makes it easy. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water.